Hi there, and welcome to our service of morning prayer. I'm the Reverend Meredith Hefner. I'm rector at St. James Episcopal Church in Potomac, Maryland, and I'm glad that you've joined us today. Our service begins with a call to worship found on page 75 of our Book of Common Prayer. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We continue now with the Venite. It's on page 82 of our prayer book. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Our psalm today is Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13. Let's pray this psalm together. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. He will not always accuse us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. As a father cares for his children, so does the Lord care for those who fear him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat. For God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord, and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to the Lord, to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in reading Canticle 21, found on page 4 of your bulletin, and page 95 in your Book of Common Prayer. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father in majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the eternal Father. All creation worships you. To you, all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you. The noble fellowship of prophets praise you. The white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you. Father in majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not shun the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand of glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, brought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting.
Our next reading is from Matthew, the 18th chapter, beginning in the 21st verse. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, today we hear the story of this unforgiving servant. Many of us know it well. It begins when Peter asked Jesus, "How many times must I forgive?" And then he suggests, 7? Now, it's clear that this parable is going to be about forgiveness. But we have to ask ourselves why Peter is asking this question in the first place. Is he asking, how many times must I forgive if they're not really sorry? Or how many times must I forgive so that I get brownie points in heaven? Or is he asking, how many times must I try to forgive before I can go get even? I don't know. It could be a combination. We want to do what Jesus asks, but we also want justice. And we want life to be fair. And we don't want to carry any guilt. But Jesus says, no, not 7, but 77. Now, for us, 77 seems doable. We could forgive 77 times, I think. Pre-COVID, for example, I forgave 77 people a week for cutting me off on the beltway. But seriously, in Hebrew, the number 77 means completely, which means Jesus is demanding complete forgiveness, whatever it takes, of not just the little stuff like offensive drivers, but the big stuff as well. As if anticipating Peter's response, Jesus then tells the story that we heard about this king who forgives a slave's debt of 10,000 talents. Now you need to know that that is equal to 15 years of wages, after which the very same slave can't find it within himself to give another's debt, which was only 1,000 denarii, one day's wage. So hearing this, the king throws the first slave in jail to be tortured because he couldn't forgive even though he had been forgiven. And Jesus ends this parable by saying this, so my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Wow. You know, when we've been hurt, I'm not sure that's the reaction that we really want from God. We're hoping that God will take our side. We certainly don't think God should be doling out forgiveness to someone who's hurt us and expecting us to do the same. I mean, sometimes the crime against us is just so bad, we don't feel that the other party deserves forgiveness. We don't even want to forgive. And considering our pain, we certainly don't expect to be tortured for it. But think about what happens when you or someone holds a grudge, when they can't forgive, when they replay this transgression against them over and over and over again in their heads. You know, we've all met people like that, and they end up retaining this grievance and lugging it around from place to place like a burden for the rest of their lives, for years, for decades, maybe longer. And they become trapped by this inability to forgive. Even worse, all that emotion and pain and anger, it gets in the way of God, of God's mercy and God's compassion and God's presence, God's love. Some people get so consumed, there is no place left for God. It's got to be torture. But what about those in need of forgiveness, whether they admit it or not? The shame, guilt, denial can be just as damaging, just as torturous, destroying relationships and shutting God out the same way failure to forgive can do. And I think these days we're seeing that from all sides. And yet, I think this tension can be transformative, leading to true repentance and true forgiveness, but only if we're able to look beyond our shame, focusing instead on what exactly has occurred and our role in it, as well as looking to the work that needs to be done. And I believe that it all depends on what we do with our guilt. Do we let it shame us? Or do we let it change us? One psychologist put it this way. Guilt says, I've done something wrong. Shame says, there is something wrong with me. Guilt says, I made a mistake. Shame says, I am a mistake. Guilt says, what I did was not good. Shame says, I am no good. You see the difference? Shame paralyzes us because we feel unworthy. It keeps us inwardly focused. And when we dwell in shame, we get consumed. We forget that God loves us. And that love in and of itself is all we need to know that we are worthy. And that's what Jesus is saying to us, that we are all worthy, that we are all forgivable, that we are all forgiven, and that we're called to forgive. Now, if we've done wrong, acknowledging our guilt gives us something to work with. It allows us to look at the situation, not blaming, but acknowledging what is wrong and realizing from our worthiness that we can try again. Knowing that if we can't get it right this time, we are still worthy. We are still forgiven. We are still able to respond and to repent and to try again and again if we need to. It's a transformative process that begins with listening and acknowledging the pain and finding ways, it's not that easy, to love one another the way Jesus did, unconditionally. Again, it's hard, but failure to try leads us nowhere, just like failing to try to forgive. I know some people deserve punishment. Some people have done so much harm and caused so much pain, it could take ages even to want to forgive. And Jesus understands that. But Jesus needs us to try. Because when God has loved us enough to forgive us all of our sins, loved us enough to declare us worthy, how can we not at least try? If we don't, I'm afraid it will torture us forever. At this time, we invite you to make a gift to God through St. James. Your donation allows us to continue our ministries, to be God's hands and feet on this earth, and to do what love requires. Online giving is available through our website, stjamespotomac.org. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess God's name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
Kindness in his Let us continue saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, we know that you are present in the Holy Sacrament. We love you above all things, and we desire to receive you into our souls. Since we cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come spiritually into our hearts. We embrace you as if you are already there, and unite ourselves wholly to you. Amen.
The prayers of the people. Holy One, we ask for you to embrace the whole human family with your care, as we seek to understand, adapt, and live into the reality of the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for those who are giving care and for all first responders. We lift to you those who are ill, for those who are afraid or alone, and for those who have died. As you call us to love our neighbors, enable us to see the reality of racism and free us to challenge and uproot it from our society, our world, and ourselves. Give us strength and courage to face what is to come and guide the leaders of the nation in finding ways to work together for the good of all. Hold your church close and grant us your wisdom, uniting us in your Son, Jesus, who with the Spirit holds us all in your loving arms. Amen. We pray for those who are ill. For Paul, Matt, Joan, and Moira. For Brad, for Bill and John Filbert, and for Doris Wallace. We pray for Kate, for Myrna, for Thomas Kuntz, and for Jace, for Phyllis Cole and her family, for Elaine Morton, and for Ricky and Jack, and for Jack Linehan. We lift to you all who have died, for Barbara Ward, for the victims of racial injustice, and for those who have died of COVID-19. Comfort those who mourn. We also give you thanks for those having birthdays and anniversaries this week. We thank you, God, for all of our blessings and for your presence with us during this time. Your prayers of intercession and thanksgiving are welcome at this time. Mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life. But above all, for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.